everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. This is a show empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health and well-being. And we all know how important it is to be informed these days so we truly can navigate during a time of change and transition and confusion to a healthy destination. I'm so glad you're joining me, and as always, this is an opportunity to have an empowering and enlightening conversation. I want to welcome everyone who may be listening for the very first time, and if you'd like to get the archives for What Women Must Know or the other program that I do every Saturday on Progressive Radio Network called The Love Code, then you can either go to my Facebook page, me there, What Women Must Know, or you can opt into my website, which is drcherylselman.com. And that, in that way, everything goes right to your inbox. You get all sorts of other educational pieces, promotions, you know, just keeps you in the loop with things. And you'll be part of my growing community. And I'd love to have you come and join me. So we're going to jump in because we have a really fascinating and important conversation today. We're going to be talking about the importance of light for health and healing. And I have two very special guests with me today. I have Daniel Ebbett, who's coming all the way from New Zealand, and Chris Henderson, who is joining me from Australia. And these are two experts in the area of light and solutions to our lighting crisis, and I really do think it is a crisis. I've been fascinated with the role of light and natural light and sunlight and lighting from our computers and lighting in our homes for many years. And if you've been following me for a period of time, you know I've had many guests talk about this topic, and as a result, it has been profound in my life. And I have changed many habits and have had a whole new appreciation of the profound importance of light, of natural light, of sunlight, of exposure to light, of the light that is emitted from our computers, from the lighting in our homes, how that lighting has a direct impact on our health, on our moods, on our sleep, on our hormones, on inflammation, on everything. It's like a blinding flash of the obvious when I've learned about it. And this is about returning again to nature. And we're going to be exploring some of the solutions that Daniel and Chris are going to be offering us in their research and what they've put together. So it's a fascinating show. It has relevance to everyone listening. So I am so glad you're here and taking part in this wonderful conversation. So let me just share a little bit about my guest. Daniel Ebbett is the founder and CEO of Australian-based company Blue Block Light. Daniel has spent the last 9 years heavily researching all aspects of how light impacts our health. After personally going through a number of years of suffering chronic insomnia and migraines, he went about finding solutions to resolve declining health. Daniel has now developed a number of different products based on all his research to help people live in today's modern world while mitigating the harmful effects of modern lighting and their impact on our health. Chris Henderson, my other guest, is a qualified functional diagnostic nutritional practitioner, coaching clients through diet and stress reduction principles, including how their exposures to light, both natural, artificial, and those used in therapy affect the body's biochemical, hormonal, and circadian rhythms. This passion led him to set up a company educating the public about light and also partnering to develop healthier lighting solutions that can help us maintain healthier function when we are indoors. So it's my great pleasure to welcome Daniel all the way from New Zealand and Chris all the way from Australia to the show today. And welcome to both of you.
Thanks, Cheryl. I really appreciate it.
Cheryl? Yeah, nice to be here.
Yeah, you know, it's great having you both. You have such a combined wealth of knowledge when it comes to this role of the light on health and solutions. So let's start with you, Daniel, and talking about your personal journey of healing and how it led you to this profound understanding of the role of light in our health.
Yeah, sure, sure. So, for me, my journey started quite a long time ago, actually sort of way back in like 2006, really started to have a passion for just fitness and health in general, and considered myself to be quite a healthy individual. And I started competing and sort of powerlifting at a national level in Australia, and doing very well at it and performing at, competing at a very high level at very high performance. And at the same time as I was doing that, I just entered the corporate world in Sydney. So I was working, in a typical kind of skyriser building, under fluorescent lights, so very, very horrible fluorescent lights all through the building, and I was starting a career in IT. So as part of my career in IT, obviously it involved being on screens a lot during the day, but also for the fact that I was new in the industry and the career, was I had to do a lot of work out of hours in the evening. And very quickly, within a matter of months, I started to see a decline in my health quite quickly, and it started with the insomnia at night, and that led down just the fall on effects of over time not getting deep and restful sleep while still trying to compete or put the body under extreme levels of stress through training, and weightlifting really started to break my body down because it certainly wasn't getting enough restorative and repair overnight. So that led me down initially just down the route of conventional medicine. Sort of went to my GP to try and understand what was going on, because at this stage, obviously, I had no connection between what my environment was actually doing to my health. My knowledge of health was if you eat well and if you exercise lots, you're going to be healthy, sort of thing. So there's certainly, my levels of knowledge back then were there's nothing else that I should really be concerned about to be healthy. And unfortunately, doctors down that kind of model, they really look to band-aid the problems. So over a number of years, I was prescribed anything from antidepressant drugs to antipsychotic medications to a whole host of different medications labeled to try and with insomnia. And essentially that just ended me up in a situation. It would knock me out, but I wouldn't wake up. I'd wake up feeling significantly worse. And it got to a point essentially where I had to just give up give up that powerlifting dream, give up any kind of exercise, any sport, just to try and function through the day to obviously starting a career, you're trying to make, a way or a name for yourself so you can start to progress that. So that's all. I just had to drop everything and continue doing that. And then it just got to a point where I sort of was like, this is just madness. Like, it got to the point where I think even some doctors were then trying to tell me, it's in your head. Like, you're making it worse. You have physically nothing wrong with you, kind of thing, I was sort of told. And that drove me nuts because I was, as part of the reason I got into IT was a lot of problem solving and just trying to understand how systems work. So I was like, well, I can kind of apply that methodology to the human body and just do some, let's just strip it back and try to understand, the root cause analysis here. For me, it was then starting to look at, what changed in my environment over that time, what was doing different. And that's when I back then actually did stumble on the work of Jack Cruz and his what he was talking about light back then. And that kind of just was a little bit of a light bulb moment for me around how toxic my light exposure was and how lack of any natural light I was getting, because essentially I lived in the CBD of Sydney, so living in a high-rise apartment under fluorescent light, and there down the elevator, walk down the street 200 metres and straight back up into another high-rise building and stay in there until it's dark, and then leave, and then go back up to my other high-rise at home, and then work on a screen. So it's just a 24/7 fluorescent light, and then LED lights or LED screens. So yeah, right back then, we're talking, I think around 2010, I think it was. Actually, a bit later, maybe yeah, a few years after that. Yeah, after kind of seeing light might be the issue, I was sort of saying, well, what do I do here? And at the time, you don't have, there wasn't a whole host of solutions out there, but I kind of, through trolling some internet forums, people were talking about potentially using some safety glasses to try and mitigate the light problem. So I ordered a bunch of these big, very attractive looking orange safety glasses to just try and essentially see if that was going to help. And yeah, it was almost like a light switch moment, like day and night difference from starting to use them and to really mitigate or filter out some of the harmful frequencies of light that are unnatural frequencies of light. And that's kind of where I started, and I haven't really given up since then, just learning and understanding how light impacts our biology. And yeah, so from those safety classes, far from optimal, but certainly made a massive difference. It was then really trying to get into the science and understanding of exactly what frequencies of light do what in the body, what ones we should be exposed to and what ones we shouldn't, and then really trying to dial that in with products that would then provide people more optimal light solution for various times of the day and night. And yeah, that's where I am today. So 6 years on, that's what we're doing still, developing a whole suite of products just targeted around that. My goal was to essentially try and create business and products to allow people to not go through what I had to go through to get to the solution or understand the root cause.
Well, what a story. You know, I just have to say, I can hardly imagine what that period was like when you were searching for solutions, dealing with your chronic insomnia and migraines and going to your doctors and being put on antidepressants, being, you know, antipsychotic drugs. I mean, you know, what a journey to get you to arrive at this profound understanding. I just think of how many people are lost, right? Lost because they don't understand the role of light, and then to be told, because doctors only give you 15 minutes anyway, and they don't really have time to even ask you questions, nor would they really understand the role of environment, to say it's all in your head, which, by the way, seems to be the catch-all for people when medical professions don't understand why a person is experiencing the symptoms they are, then they just go back to, you know, psychosomatic, which is a cop-out, really. So, what a journey. You know, good for you that, you know, you found your way back to health and a greater purpose. So, well, it's a great story. You know, sorry to hear how much suffering was involved to get you there, but that's generally how it works for us to wake up,
yep, exactly.
And get on a path.
Yep.
Yeah. So Chris, you have quite a story as well. So share about your journey to understanding the role of light and what your unique experience was that led you to this revelation.
Yeah, thanks, Cheryl. And yeah, I appreciate Daniel's story. And it is a journey because, and we all sort of get on the journey and we get connected with each other for certain reasons. And I just want to add that, you know, I met you on a nutrition summit that we were doing, and you were the only one who was talking about light and hormones, and a light bulb went off in my mind. I thought, no, I've got to speak to Cheryl because it's not very well known. I guess from my background and point of view, I've been through a fairly arduous health journey. I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease when I was 18. I had major surgery when I was 21 for that, and that started my journey into, you know, exploring more holistic ways of managing that. I did that, and I went deep into that, and similar to Daniel, I actually started a corporate career, well, back end of in my late 20s as an insurance broker, and prior to that, a lot of my work had been in a home office where there was a lot of natural lighting, and I can get outdoors, and found myself, like Daniel, trapped in this office for 8 or 9 hours a day under fluorescent lighting, and the first time I'd ever used LED backlit screens, and within 6 months I'd lost my eyesight and I was only 28 years old, so I hadn't put any of the pieces together about light. This is back in like 2008, 2009, but while I was working in that environment, I was diagnosed with a second significant autoimmune condition, which challenged my ability to actually do that role of that work, and I had to step away and actually recalibrate and decided to do my own study into functional medicine, signed up to a course, and went deep into that. I've got a certificate after 3 years, and then started to work with clients around diet, stress reduction, mainly also functional lab testing, like, you know, doing blood testing, stool testing, and all of that sort of integrative medicine style supplement progression. And I just found, did that for 3 or 4 years, but there was something missing, and I think it was the light factor, because I had a client say, you have to listen to Dr. Jack Cruz. He has some really interesting information. And like Daniel, I jumped on his webinars and I consumed about 9 hours worth of content and made copious notes, and then went about actually applying some of the suggestions, which mainly were, get out in the morning, watch the sunrise, and then use the blue blocking glasses at night to mitigate the unnatural, harmful blue light frequencies. And I did that, and within about probably 6 to 8 weeks, my eyesight returned. And I'd had prescriptions for 10 years, and I thought, wow, there's something, really something deep and meaningful in this. And I thought, well, I need to do a bit more research and study. And I also have a background in working in lighting. So I worked as a sales rep in lighting for a couple of years. So these things are sort of converging. And I had to find someone who was developing better lighting, because I couldn't find anyone. Yeah, we have the blocking glasses. And I went through a roundabout and hoops to try and find someone. And then a client in Sydney who had Crohn's disease, I decided to, you know, apply some of Dr. Jack's stuff with my client, and some of the EMF mitigation stuff with him, and he got well very quickly. And I think he'd found Daniel on a website, and he sent me a link to Daniel, and I sent him a message straight away. I said, mate, are you building some downlights, because we need them? And he sent me a picture of these downlights that he'd already built. So that's where it all started and continued, and I'm sort of, you know, really pushing Daniel's products, because I've used them myself, and I use them, all my clients use them. So, and it's a very short synopsis, but hopefully it's clear. Yeah.
Okay, you know, I mean, both your stories are so profound and compelling in your own way, how through your own exposure to artificial lighting and then this revelation that happened about the role of light and how it facilitated your healing, is, you know, it's just so profound for all of us listening. And, you know, this truly was a revelation for me as well, because I found my way to Jack Cruz, and I've had him on this program. And it just made a lot of sense. It was like a blinding flash of the obvious, to be honest. And as a result, it changed a lot of my habits. And, you know, I started having a greater appreciation to natural light, getting as much exposure to natural light whenever possible, watching the sunrise, because there's something special that happens when you are watching the sunrise in terms of the frequencies that and information that comes into the brain at that time. I've just changed a lot of things and had a greater appreciation of the role of light for health and well-being, which is so underappreciated and so little understood in our culture, because our culture has become an indoor culture. Now we're addicted to our screens, which is, we're going to why the lighting of our screens is so dangerous to our health, why we live in a world that has fluorescent lighting and LEDs and all the wrong light frequencies, and an underlying role. So it's like a, you know, as we get into this conversation, and I hope people pay attention, it's like we have something in the environment that we're not paying attention to that has a direct impact on the health challenges and the chronic health issues that are occurring in our culture and our environments. So this is, you know, important, because we're getting to something, as both of you shared, dealing through your own chronic health issues, something as simple as changing the lighting was able to heal your body in profound ways. So that's something that we need to really pay attention to. Chris, I'm going to continue in, you know, having this conversation with you right now, because you have done all the research on the impacts of light on health. So can you share with us some of those insights and awarenesses that you have? I know you do a lot of presentations connecting the role of light on many aspects of our health. So can you highlight how the light that we're exposed to has a direct impact on different systems in our body?
Yeah, for sure, Cheryl. I think for me, it's from the functional medicine side, is that we're trying to move things in the body and make things work in the body quite externally, you know, with supplements and medications. And there's nothing wrong with that. There is a place for that. But in terms of the lack of understanding and light, it all revolves around our circadian rhythms. And you probably mentioned this on your show before. And humans are basically tuned to light and dark cycles to control all their different hormones at all the different times of the day. You mentioned in the morning having that sunrise, you get that beautiful near-infrared light, which you can't see, penetrates the cells and the mitochondria and brings energy to your cells. And then you get the different frequencies of light in the eye, which start catalyzing different chemicals and hormones in the body, including melatonin, which is a big one. So when I speak about this, I try to narrow it into the circadian rhythm. So you've got to make sure that you understand that you need a lot of natural light during the day, or as much as you possibly can. And then at night, you've got to start to back away from light, and that'll allow the hormones specific to that time of day to kick in. So when you wake up in the morning, you need a natural blue light to kick in, and you need cortisol to kick in to start all your functional hormones to get you moving and your brain optimized for activity. And then at night time, you want your sleep hormones to kick in, which is melatonin, to start to get to that rest and recovery repair stage and get your body into a sleep state where, you know, things like your brain can start to detoxify and then cells can signal to regenerate and repair. So it's really foundational to how our systems, you know, function and repair. And also the vitamin D factor, where, you know, if you look at a lot of research and studies, we're not getting enough natural light to allow to get sufficient enough levels of vitamin D. And in a lot of my presentations, I talk about, you know, various types of cellular health challenges that we're facing. You know, for example, there's 500 genes in the human breast tissue that get turned on and off by vitamin D. So it's such an underutilized by supplement, but also being able to use your natural environment to actually boost those levels. So for me, it's the vitamin D levels we need to look at, and it's how we use these light and dark to our own advantage to set the body up for repair and healing.
And because we are an indoor culture, when we are not establishing healthy circadian rhythms, when we're not initiating the production of melatonin, which happens in the morning when we're exposed to light, which then gets released at night under the right lighting conditions, not blue light, which is like telling us it's midday when the truth of the matter is it's nighttime. So we get all we all screwed up in our body's ability to produce the right functions and the right hormones and the right biochemical reactions according to proper circadian rhythms, which is a really big story. And when that goes haywire, when we're out of this essential, you know, rhythm that we have evolved with, then all the systems become dysregulated, and that can lead to any problem, right, Chris? I mean, you could have, as you were saying, a myriad of issues. Yeah. You could have hormonal issues. You have sleep issues. You have brain issues. You can have Parkinson's, you know, neurological issues. You could have inflammation. The list goes on and on.
Yeah, it does. It does, exactly. So this one prominent bit of data that I do share in some of my slides is about neurodegeneration. And like you said, you make the melatonin not at night time. It's a hormone of light. So when certain frequencies of light through the eye catalyze certain, you know, chemical processes in the brain to make this melatonin, that's need to be released at night. And that's a major factor in how your brain detoxifies. So you need enough of melatonin in your system for the brain to actually shrink, and there's a lymphatic system in the brain that washes through and basically detoxes the brain overnight, and you need to be in REM sleep for that to happen. So if that doesn't happen, you're just building up all the metabolites in your brain that were basically built up through all your activity during the day. And I really believe this is one of the main issues in terms of how we have this chronic epidemic in younger and younger people now of these neurodegenerative illnesses, not to mention, you know, blue lights effect, and Daniel will probably talk about the flicker effect from screens and lighting that basically are building up all these metabolites in our brains. So it's such a perfect loop that they've designed. You know, we're stuck inside building up metabolites in our brains, and then we go back inside, and at night we don't have enough melatonin to detoxify these, and it's just a real problem. Melatonin also is one of the body's major antioxidants. So as I said, helps the body repair, do all the cell signaling for repair and replacement. So we know that, you know, cellular health challenges, not to mention the C word, is massive. So it's so prominent and profound, and it's behaviors, like you say. And Daniel and I are in the business of, you know, Daniel with the product and me, you know, with the education, trying to shift behavior so we can, you know, steer people away from these major things that are coming. Listen, it's a tsunami. They're coming everyone's way, right? It doesn't matter who you are. You've got to shift your behavior to swerve, yeah. I think.
Our Western cultures we've been educated and trained to be light phobic. So we wear sunglasses, right? So the sunglasses are essential items, which means we block the light from getting into the eyes, which actually is is one of the pathways of light getting into the brain to create the proper signaling. So everyone's wearing their sunglasses, which I basically have given up. Put on the sunscreen, which blocks the ability of light to get through to the skin and to communicate, because there are receptors on the skin. You know, I'm here in Australia, and it was so shocking to me when I go to the beach. Both of you probably see this, but you see these kids that are now in bathing suits that are, you know, covering goes up, down the sleeves all the way to the wrist. They're covered up. Sometimes even, you know, they have suits that cover their legs, but certainly bathing suits that go all the way up to their neck and down to their wrist. So they get no light exposure to their skin when they're at the beach. You know, so because we're operating out of a huge misperception and, to be honest, erroneous education about the role of light and the role of nature. So share that. It's like, you know, when you know what you know, and you look around and you see what's going on, and you can see how it's impacting our immune health, lowering our immunity, you know, making us more vulnerable to these chronic health conditions, it, you know, you really want to shout it from the rooftop, and it's helping to get people to have conversations like this so we can make some changes in our behaviors and lifestyle choices, which aren't that difficult, really.
Well, I'll just add, Dan's going to come in, but just add, in my studies, a lot of research comes from universities, even in Australia, where they're showing, you know, over 50-60% of southern states deficient in vitamin D in Australia in winter. So that shows we haven't done the behaviors in summer and the springtime, and those, you know, getting into that function to build vitamin D, and then we're really just tanking in the winter time. It was really, really shocking because I'm in Queensland and we have sun, you know, it's 24/7 here. And, you know, the further you go south, the more mindful you actually need to be about your light. And it just doesn't seem to be educating. Through, you know, public health messaging is massive. Obviously, we're seeing that through the current pandemic. And there's nothing in public health about vitamin D, and mainly the opposite. They're basically promoting, you know, don't let the sun touch your DNA, and it's basically ramped up from the old slip, slop, slap conversation to, you know, this is, you know, it's all about cancer and the sun, and it's just totally erroneous, and we need to have these conversations to break that.
Yes, and then talk about some of the practical solutions. So that's where, you know, Daniel, you have found ways to implement strategies and develop products that can help us, you know, maintain our screen time and maintain our indoor living with our lighting, but do it in a way that is health promoting. So, you know, why don't you just kind of jump in and share with us what you have learned about the kind of lighting, what lighting is doing to us, the normal lighting that's found in most homes, offices, et cetera, and what you have created to counteract the ill effects of that kind of lighting.
Yeah, sure. One thing I just wanted to add as well around the, like, our behaviors and where we're currently at. What I've actually found, like, when dealing, because we obviously deal with a lot of people every day that come to us, sort of asking for advice, is I think a lot of people are potentially catching on or starting to understand that being on screens a lot or being under fluorescent LED lights isn't good for us. But they're still very misinformed about light in general, because they think, oh, I just need to block blue light and then that's all I need to do, right? So, and they don't look at things like what sort of light they need during the daytime. They don't look at actual sun exposure, what, you know, vitamin D, what one real key thing we commonly see is a lot of people like, oh, you know, I'm doing exactly, you know, what I've read about online, you know, people talking about blocking blue light at night, but they're not, it's not working for me, you know, I'm still sleeping bad. And a common question we'll ask is like, well, what are you doing during the daytime? And it's like, oh, well, I'm just inside all day, I don't go outside, I don't get any natural light. Well, it doesn't, and the way our, you know, our biology works is in order to, you know, we're blocking blue light at night to allow the pineal gland to release melatonin, but you actually, the raw building blocks to create melatonin is actually done during the day. And that's done by actually exposure to blue light from natural sources outside. So that actually helps you build up serotonin, which actually through a series of conversions eventually ends up as melatonin. So people are still quite a long way off even the behaviours of, it's not just doing one thing, it's not just blocking blue light at night and all your problems from light, you know, misalignment of light goes away. It's actually looking at the whole picture and going, you know, what do we need during the day, throughout the different times of the day, through, and kind of that whole, once you kind of get all of that dialed in, that's when you really start to see things start to align and you start to live, you know, and more in line with nature. I just wanted to add there, because that's one thing we're finding is, you know, the prevalence of people understanding blue light not necessarily being good for us, but then not really understanding that it is actually good for us at the right times of the day as well. I think there's still a big, huge education piece that's needed there.
Yeah, I just want to jump in and just say that, you know, there are no real shortcuts to health. You know, you can't just take a piece of the puzzle and expect to get the results. And what we're looking at is the ability to have the capacity to heal and then to maintain optimal well-being. So this conversation is so important because as we're talking about the role of light, and it's something that has become so profound in my life, I'm so aware of light, of getting out in nature, of getting out without sunglasses and, you know, exposing my body and just making sure that I have light. And then being able, you know, I use red light therapy as well every day for myself, and then wanting to add another level of that by making my indoor environment as healthy and balanced for my body as possible. So, you know, this is the education we're getting because this is a critical component for our ability to heal. I mean, light, indoor lighting, even affects your microbiome. And I think, Chris, you, you know, demonstrated that having your history of Crohn's, but you can, you know, the microbiome is adversely affected by all this artificial light and lack of natural sunlight. Everything is affected. We have more thyroid problems, hormonal imbalances, infertility. I mean, as you were saying, neurological. So the point I want to make to everyone listening is that light is fundamental to every function and every aspect of your body's ability to operate. And you cannot fully heal for the long term if you are ignoring this major piece of the healing puzzle. You've got to understand the role of nature and light and sunlight and lighting throughout the day in all its forms to truly be able to regain and maintain your health. And of course, that's my passion. That's what I'm doing. And I love having these conversations because it allows me to add another level, another new behavior and another new piece of the puzzle of optimizing my health and well-being. So, having said all that, Daniel, you have developed some solutions in terms of lighting options that I really want you to talk about, and I want you to go into detail about the different light bulbs and the different colored lights and what you've done to provide an indoor environment that actually supports our health and our ability to generate the proper sleep environment, the proper learning environment, you know, just all the important aspects that occur from the proper exposure to the right frequencies of light.
Yeah, sure. So one big shift we saw in main residential lighting sort of occurred about four or five years ago, where the older incandescent type light bulbs that we used to have been very quickly replaced now with the more energy efficient LED lighting or the fluorescent tube lighting as well. It has become very much just common, the common lighting that we see everywhere now. And it's been a very large, significant shift in the main type of light that we have in our homes, of the frequencies of light we've been exposed to. The older incandescent light we use was actually a very, very biologically appropriate type of light. It was very low in blue light. It had a lot of the good healing wavelengths of the orange and the red and the infrared light in it. But the downsides of it was very... it wasn't very energy efficient, and they didn't last very long. So most governments around the world have started to ban essentially the importation of this older style of lighting, and to try and bring in the more energy efficient LED lighting. Mainly what I see as a policy is obviously to try and for sustainability reasons, so it's sort of taking the approach that, you know, this lighting is better for the planet, but they have completely disregarded our health with this. So for the planet, but shocking for us, for the people living on the planet, and a lot of the wildlife, any living life form on the planet, to be honest, because we've got this type of lighting sitting now in our street lights, our car headlights. Every type of lighting now has really moved into LED lighting. And the main issue we have with the LED lighting or the fluorescent lighting is the spectrum output of it has a very, very large spike in blue light, in the mid kind of blue light area around, so of about 455 nanometers. So blue light ranges from 400 to 500 nanometers, and it's got this big, huge spike right in the middle of it there, and then it comes down. It's very void of any of the other spectrums of light, so it's very kind of non-natural light that we don't really see any kind of forms like that in nature. And so that's where the problems with it really start. And now that we've got every single light that you turn on in your home is this type of light, which has got, you know, this very large spike in the blue light, which is essentially sending that trigger of wakefulness to the brain, becomes a really big problem. A lot of people sit here focusing on the screens being exposed to the phones and the computers, which are a really big problem. I don't want to downplay that, but the biggest exposure overall is everyone turns on no one lives in the dark. So, you know, sun goes down, we turn on all these lights in our homes. All our homes are lit up bright as with this really unnatural light. So that's kind of where we came in and thought, well, we've already created a bunch of products around glasses that you can wear to when you're on the screens, and it will filter down and remove those harmful frequencies of blue light. But I took a step back and said, well, that in itself is somewhat of a band-aid solution. It's like you're still emitting all these harmful light. Why don't we actually take a step back, further back from that, and stop and take away that biggest source, that biggest exposure, and fix it and actually make it so your whole home is not bathed in all this harmful light. Let's actually create a light source that's actually going to be beneficial to have on at night. So that's kind of what the problem was and the solution we wanted to create. So we took a step back and we looked at how we could create this. And what we found is there were three main aspects of the modern lighting that we needed to deal with. So and there were some positive aspects of the lighting we wanted to keep. So we looked at the LED lighting and said, well, let's try and reverse engineer the LED light bulb to be beneficial for us. So let's keep the two aspects of LED lighting that we like, which is it's very low energy consumption, so cheap to run, and it's very, very long life. They can last for up to 30,000 hours, so that's, you know, it could be 10 to 15 years life out of a single bulb. So those are two things we really wanted to keep in it, but then there were three harmful aspects we needed to remove. So the first one I already touched on was the frequency emission of light, which actually is coming out of it, so that high spike in blue light, which we certainly don't want any of that at night, and just, yeah, the very void of any of the beneficial orange and red light. So that's the first issue. The next issue, which is actually quite a big one, is which Chris kind of just touched on earlier, was flicker. So pretty much every single LED light source will have flicker in it. So what flicker is the light turning on and off very, very quickly. So most times you visually won't see that just by looking at the light source, because it's turning off and on so fast that the frames per second of the human eye can't visually pick that up. But what's actually happening behind the scenes is your brain is actually dealing with that and trying to deal with essentially like a strobe light. It's turning off, it's flashing off and on, off and off, off and on very, very quickly. And that just starts to cause neurological stress to the brain. Symptoms of that are you see the headaches, the migraines, eye strain, and even on the far end of the scale for some people, it's causing things like epileptic fits, and that's like that they have extreme light sensitivity, and you've got this light flickering, and the brain's sitting there literally trying to deal with an unnatural light source that's turning off and on very quickly, it's really a recipe for disaster. And the other issue with flicker is that there's no such thing as flickering light in nature. So all light, which is from the sun or a fire, is continuous light source. So that it makes it very unnatural for the brain, and so it puts it on a lot of stress trying to decode and understand what this light source is. The reason we get flicker in light is because of our mains. Electricity throughout the world pretty much will be AC current, which is alternating current. So AC current is mains power, and that means that it's pulsing. So it pulses on and off around 60 times a second. And that because LED bulbs are what we'd call like a digital light source, so they're on if they've got power and they're off if they don't have power. So because it's pulsing 60 times a second with power, well, it's on off 60 times a second. So that's the flicker issue. And so the last issue we have in LED more modern lighting is the EMF or various different types of EMFs in them. So we've got not really seeing it as an issue as the common EMF, which would be RF or radio frequencies. However, some of the modern, even what we call smart light bulbs, they certainly do have radio frequencies coming out of every light bulb to allow them to be controlled through your smartphone and sort of these smart home solutions. So obviously we've completely excluded any of that kind of technology now. But there's other EMFs that are a great concern as well, which is electric fields and magnetic fields. And poorly designed lighting will emit quite high levels of this in quite far distances, which is not optimal for health either. So when we went about creating a light bulb, it wasn't just looking at, oh, we need to remove blue light. Like, let's just, you know, because a lot of people were like, oh, it's a blue-free light bulb. That's great. That's what I want for the evening. It's actually looking about all the aspects of health and what would be considered something that's not going to harm your health. So we needed to address the blue light. We needed to address the flicker, and we needed to address the EMFs in it. So when we created our first light bulb, we removed the blue light out of it. So, and then what they ended up creating was a really nice amber hue. So it's a very, very relaxing kind of light to be under at night. Still bright enough to use as general purpose lighting. So the idea was you could literally change every light bulb in your home. You're bringing that color temperature down a lot. So initially for some people, it is quite a change because they're used to the very bright white light. So we're bringing it down to a nice amber colour, very relaxing to use in the evening to allow your brain to actually recognise that the sun has set and it's time to actually start to wind down in the evening. With the flicker element, we remove that completely, and that just came down to using an advanced driver inside the light bulb itself, and what that does is it essentially converts the AC current inside the light bulb and delivers the actual parts and the diodes inside the light bulb a direct current source. So a DC source of current means that it's got a continuous power source, so it's not going to flicker. And then the EMF side of thing, it really just comes down to the technical engineering inside the bulb to ensure that it's created in such a way that it's not emitting those harmful fields. So those are the three aspects, and that's what we've created as this like healthy light source, and really good general purpose lighting to use. So we then took it one step further from there and said, well, let's now, we've got this technology, we know what we need to create, let's now create it in various light fittings to cover off all the different options around how different light options for different homes. So like a common one we see now in new homes or people that are renovating, they use recessed downlights that sit in, recessed into the ceiling, and there's no light bulb to change them. So a lot of people were coming to us sort of saying, well, I can't use your light bulbs because I have no light bulb to change. It's a whole unit. So we went about just utilizing those same principles that we had just, you know, worked out is how we want to create this lighting and then moved it through the various types of lighting. So like today, we've got probably four or five different just standard light bulb fittings. We've got recessed down lights, we've got night lights, book lights, battery powered lamps. There's a whole suite of products developed based on those same principles. Then we went even one step further again, and we looked at a bit more research really around the different frequencies of light. And we dug up a really key study that came out in 2001. And what it did, it looked at all the different frequencies of light measured in wavelengths and nanometers, and exactly what effect or what suppression level it had on melatonin. So, and what that study actually found was melatonin was suppressed far past blue light. So blue light ranges from 400 to 500 nanometers, and green light ranges from 500 to 570. And the study actually found that right up to 550 nanometers, melatonin was suppressed by being exposed to that frequency of light. So that was kind of a big deal, because most of the focus has always been just around blocking blue light at night. And while green light has less of an effect, the study certainly showed it does have an impact. With a peak disruption sits at about 465 nanometers, I think. So that certainly has a much stronger effect in the blue range. But I guess if you're trying to dial everything in to be 100% optimal at night, well, then you need to start removing most of the green light, so about three quarters of the green light spectrum. But what that actually does is, once you start stripping out all the blue and you're stripping out all the green, just the laws of physics will tell you that you end up with a more of a redder colour light. So what we actually did is we then developed a whole other series of lighting that had all that green spectrum removed as well. And the use for that was more use the no blue in the early evening. So you've got your general purpose lighting that you can use throughout your whole home, and then kind of once you've done anything that you need to do in the evening, such as cooking dinner or activities where you need a bit more light, you actually turn all the overhead lights off and then switch to lamps that have the red lights in it. Now, there's two real reasons that I really like that kind of way of working your light environment, because the first one is that light coming from overhead is from the sun. So we always receive light, from up above down onto us. So once you're really wanting to wind down for the night, putting them into lamps at eye level or below, and then also moving to a red spectrum, really, really starts to replicate how our ancestors would have lived, back, caveman days, right? Fire. So fire is always at ground level. It's a redder light. So you're really starting to replicate nature in that aspect, and it really starts to put the brain into that complete state of relax and wind down. So melatonin levels will start to increase with the removal of all those frequencies, removing overhead light. So yeah, that's kind of, now we've created the different lighting solutions for all the different areas you kind of need them in at different times. So we've even taken things a step further. Like, we've got motion sensitive night lights, so you put them down your hallway with red. So if you need to get up in the night, you get illuminated light down, but with all the correct frequencies of light that aren't going to disturb your sleep, aren't going to wake you up. And going to really keep your melatonin levels peaking throughout the night and not suppressing them. And then one other aspect I'll add to the lighting, and this is where me and Chris have probably been working for the last 18 months or so on, and that was looking at Because everything I've talked about on the lighting to this point has really been about how to dial in your light, your optimal types of light to use at night. But what we were finding is we'd commonly get people coming to us going, I love your lights, I love them, they're awesome, but what am I supposed to do during the daytime? Like, you know, it's a bit over winter, could be a bit dark in the room, I need to turn lights on. Like, are your lights good for that? And my answer would always be, well, they're not bad for that, but they don't emit any blue light. And during the day, we want to get exposure to what we would deem balanced levels of blue light, because blue light during the day, we need it to trigger the cortisol release, so that keeps it, that's a wakefulness hormone, keeps us awake, keeps us motivated, makes us actually want to get up and do things during the day. So if you start to reduce your blue light below what we should be getting, you're going to see low cortisol, you're going to be quite tired, unmotivated, and not really too happy about getting on with the day. So, and then there's the other aspect also of blue light actually triggering in the brain dopamine and serotonin. And I talked about earlier that you need to actually build up high levels of serotonin via light exposure to then convert to melatonin at night. So really when people were asking us about our type of lighting we developed and daytime use, the answer was, well, it's not great. It doesn't have any of the harmful aspects that we talked about, but it doesn't have all the beneficial benefits we need of light during the day. So that's why we started to investigate and research and try and look at how we could develop a light source that would closely replicate the visible light we get from outdoors and try to bring that inside. So that what we'd call outdoor light would be full spectrum light, so it's very balanced light. So you'll see it varies during the different times of the day, but overall you see a very balanced spectrum of all the colours of the rainbow, and not all equal levels, but very closely mimicked to equal levels. And that's very, very different, as I explained earlier, to the typical light sources we have, where it's just a big spike in blue.
Daniel, I'm going to have to jump in because we're coming to the very end of the show, and this is so fascinating, and I don't really want to cut you off, but I don't want people to go without knowing how to find you, and that's to go to the website blueblocklight.com.au.
You got that one the wrong way around. blockbluelight.com.au.
Oh yeah, what didn't I say that? Okay, blockbluelight.com.au. Is that for the US as well?
So we ship all over the world.
Right. So anyone can order these products, and of course, if you order from the US, it's even better deal because of the dollar. So it's blockbluelight.com.au, and if you put in the coupon code HORMONE15, then you get 15% off of the products. And I just want to say, Daniel, what you've done is absolutely brilliant. Chris, you've just added another, incredible asset and resource to this whole story. And personally, to everyone listening, change the light environments in your home and see what happens. It's a small investment to have huge, profound benefits. And that's why this conversation is so important. So if you want to learn more, go to blockbluelight.com.au, which is Australia. It's shipped all over the world, so anyone can order them. And put in the Hormone 15 in the coupon code, and you'll get a 15% discount. And absolutely learn more about the environment of light, how to use light for healing, and particularly how to transform your indoor home environment to a healing space. And I'd like to really thank my guest, Daniel Ebbett, Chris Henderson, for the show. And I gotta go because we're out of time. So until next week, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.